let's go into the word this morning. Let's agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. And we say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that the truth of your word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion. There is no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive your word this beautiful morning. And we declare and decree that at the end of this meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. I trust and receive and believe that, you know, yesterday was a transformational meeting for us as a local church. You know, one of the things I would always say, like I said when I was teaching yesterday, is the words that were spoken over you, right, go back to them, revisit them, look at them again and again and again, and also take out some time to pray this week, right? Take out some time to pray this week, right? You know, we said that when prophecies came by different prophets across hundreds and thousands of generations, or rather, of centuries, rather. How do they say that? Of years, sorry. Right? And even at that, Jesus, who was the fulfillment of those prophecies, still came into, you know, the earth, and he gave himself to pray. So it means that there's such a thing called learning to wage war, like Paul tells Timothy, that thou mayest use them to wage war. Are we together? So there's such a thing called waging war with prophecy. Right, I'm a man of prophecy. I am where I am today because of prophecies gone ahead of me. You know, but I've not allowed myself to be relaxed because prophecies have gone ahead. When prophecies have gone ahead of you, it is for you to get yourself into the labor of prayer. Are we together? You get yourself into the labor of prayer. So you pray it out. Right, you pray it out. That these words that have been said over your life. And that's what you see, for instance, right? A lot of times you see some, maybe in the name ceremony of a child, for instance, words were said about the child. Right, and when the child grows up, it looks like these are things different from what the words that were said. It's more often than not, it's not far fetched. It's really, look at it, Jesus from Genesis, you see the promise of Jesus all through to Malachi, and yet Jesus came and he prayed. Are we together? You know that the betrayal of Judas was written in scriptures, even though his name was not linked to it or mentioned. You know, it was already written that it would happen. Yet Jesus knew that, he knew the scriptures, and he prayed. Are we together, right? So when words have gone ahead like that, when hands have been laid on you like that, you give yourself to praying. Give yourself to praying. And also, certain instructions would have come from some of your believers' meeting, and also from, you know, when we're ministering. Ensure you note them. Are we together? Ensure you note them. Was there any details that I was looking for someone yesterday that we didn't get clarity about yesterday? Or we didn't get who identified who the person was? Someone reached out to me on Lois that's in nursing. I think that was the only one that I had in my body to be sure that there was no one. I gave any detail about it, and I didn't give instruction around that. No one, right? No one that, right? Last week, found that I got back home yesterday night, and my wife was telling me that, you know, I was talking about Elizabeth, who's the mother of someone, and an elderly figure. It was actually our grandmother. Altogether, yeah, I didn't even know. You know how you don't know the name of your grandmother? I don't think, how many of us know the name of our grandparents here? Oh, you do? Sorry. Obviously, me, I do, definitely. Okay, how many of you know the names of your partner's grandparents? Lift your hands again and let me see you. Sister, put that hand down. If not, we'll put it on this one. Maybe so. Which one is son name? It's not her son name. But you get the point. It's easy to, and I've never known her name. I just know her as grandma. So when she told me that she's the one that has Elizabeth and the health and all of those things, so it spoke well directly to her. So can you see, that was last week Sunday, and the person was not in church. You get that, right? You know, and that's what I always tell you. And the reason I'm just saying it is just because I was trying to, you know, retreat on yesterday. If there's anybody who I mentioned, I'm supposed to see you privately. You said you're going to see me this morning, right? If there's any details I mentioned, because, you know, there's no need for word of knowledge without word of wisdom. Is that correct? Yeah, so it's not for show off. You get the point, right? You know, and we are men. The truth is, we are men, right? You must always have a mindset in your mind not to impress. I left, I'm still living the act and the art of impressing. Yeah, I've left that space. I'm leaving. It's a gradual thing, you know. So I don't do things because I want to impress, right? But the truth is that there's no need giving a word of knowledge when there's nothing to follow suit. That's what I'm asking, right? So if you identify certain names, there are instructions that should come or certain things that should go at the back of that, you know. And that's why you realize sometimes when I say some things, I'm going to minister to the lawyers in nursing to the person privately, but I don't when I say some things from word of knowledge, I ensure, even if nobody identifies it, I continue it in what? Word of wisdom or in prophecy. Just to ensure that in case you remember, because it interests you how believers forget the name. And as I told you, when pastor is coming, better go and remind yourself of your directory of the names of your family history. are together, you know, and it's normal, it's fine, it's okay. You sometimes, you know, I've ministered in church severally for instance, and I'll give certain details, right? You know, and when I just leave the church, someone will just come and meet me and say, I'm the one, is this person, is that, is this, you know. And the truth is that God is always willing to speak. But the truth is that how you are willing to respond will affect the things that can change in the future or not. Do you understand? The things that are being said are to affect things that are going to change in the future. Do you understand the point? So you need to ensure you have that heart to receive as much as possible. So it means that sometimes when words are given, let me say this even as a church, when words are given, even prophetic, words of knowledge, for instance, in your believers meeting, if nobody in that believers meeting identifies it, take note of it. Do you know why? So that when you get home and you realize it is, you go act on it. Do you understand? Because a lot of people miss certain instructions that way. You understand? Very carelessly. It's very easy to lose and to miss. Right? So when you come for meetings like that, you have believers meetings like that, just ensure you get your heart in a place to receive all. You know, like I'll give an example of that. It was a joke. I hope you know. Elizabeth's brother. Who is Elizabeth here? And the brother is running out. Right? Only for him to get a brother. I remember his name is not Elizabeth. You get. So I'm just trying to say that's how active you should be. Hallelujah. Well, Romans Gospel 15. I just said Romans Gospel. We'll be all right. Romans chapter 15. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Romans 15. Now look at 15 verse 4. Paul says to Romans and says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime, they were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope." Now if we go back to Romans chapter 12, an emphasis on verse 4. It says, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ." So are we many? Are we one body? So we are many yet one body. You get the point? And every one member one of another, right? Having then gifts different according to the grace that is given to us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the profession of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching. Now look at verse 8. Or he that exhorted on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with what? Simplicity. And he that ruleth, with diligence. Say, he that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, and cleave to that which is good. Verse 10. Be kindly, affectionate one to another, with brotherly love. Right, in honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, but in the spirit, serving the Lord. So one of the things we have been saying over time is that honor is very important in our Christian life. Now, we've looked at some consequences of dishonor. Is that correct? So we said something around dishonor is costly. Is that correct? Dishonor is costly. And I told you, my theology has not gone to a point where I understand the kinds of consequences of dishonor that people can recover from. We have consequences of, so we look through Aaron and Miriam. Right, and they dishonored Moses. And what did they get for that? Leprosy. Are we together? See, one thing you must understand from the Bible is that the Bible, that leprosy is not coincidental. You know, some of us, the way we used to act in this life is very funny. Right? People sometimes will suffer repercussions of this dishonor. Right? I would just say it's just life. It's coincidental. If it was coincidental, right, there was no need for Moses to pray about. In fact, you know, it was clearly stated in scriptures. Right? Because... yeah, were you not scared to say those things to Moses, right? And Moses had to pray and leprosy left. Now we have the like of Koram, Dathan, and Abiram. Don't take me there again, right? And what happened? They dishonored and recruited 250 people among themselves in the local church. And what happened? Yeah, the consequence for that was the ground opened and swallowed them. I was looking, look at Acts. Let me show you one. You know, some of you say that's Old Testament. Go to Acts. That's the God of the old, okay? Well. This is the God of the old is the God of the new. Altogether, like I always tell you, observe the words I use when I say those things. There's none of those statements you will hear me say that God gave them those things. Are we together? Right? But you always hear me say that God provides healing or provides solution. Right? So there are people that, there's people that recover from dishonor. You know? But the truth is that there are some people that do not recover from dishonor. Look at Acts 5. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold the possession and kept back part of the price. Is that correct? His wife also being privy to it, that means they connived together. That's Acts 5:2. And they brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Right? If you go back to chapter 4, verse 35 or verse 34, Neither was any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands and houses, they sold them, and they brought the prices of things that were sold, and did what in verse 35? And laid them down at the apostles' feet, so that distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. So, a practice in church was done. When Peter finished winning 3,000 souls, obviously, they needed to be to remain in Jerusalem for discipleship. Altogether, right? So what do people do? Just imagine, for instance, Day of Pentecost happened in Edinburgh, right? And we have people from Newcastle, from Nottingham, from America, from Angola, from Eritrea, from anywhere, a part of the world, and they come around. And Peter preaches a message and 3,000 men are saved. Now, they don't have homes in Edinburgh. They don't have houses in Edinburgh. So what happens? Brother Abuka picks his house and he sells it and says, Pastor, this is the money from the house I sold. So is it wrong when somebody sells their property to give to the church? Is it wrong? Is it wrong? Okay. Is it godly to sacrificially take something dear to you and sell and give to the church? Yeah. Are you doing it from a place of expecting 100-fold reward? No. Yeah. It is because of the sacrificial heart that you should have. I was together. So when you see people fighting people today and say, how can I? How can you? How can you? Yeah, the truth is that you always find it in every generation. So people were selling their properties. So Brother Abuka sold his own, Sister Abami sold his own, right? And they brought the money to the church and to pastor. I said, Pastor, I noticed that evangelism was done last week. And a lot of people that we, you know, got saved, they need to be discipled, but they don't have money to pay for hotel room and everything. This is the money. Altogether. So another brother, Brother A and Brother and Sister S, are we together, right? They now saw this practice in the church. And for some reasons, it could be that they were just coerced to just put themselves to be a part of the narrative. So that when they called the list of people who gave their property for God, their names too enter the list. Are we together? So what did they do? They worked, they sold their property, and they brought the money to Peter. Now look at what happens. Look at verse 3. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart altogether to lie to the Holy Ghost? Now, who did Ananias lie to? Peter, fundamentally Peter. But you know, there's a way you make something spiritual. Just attach it to Holy Ghost. Are we together? So, because if you say you lie to Peter, it's even from lie to the Holy Ghost. Your heart will prick you more. So you say you lie to the Holy Ghost. You say Satan has filled your heart. You lie to the Holy Ghost. And to keep back part of the price of the land. Look at what Peter asks them. He starts teaching them. He says, whilst it remained, was it not your own? That is, if you didn't sell the house, was it not your own? And after that it was sold, was it not even your own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thy heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, look at verse 5. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and what? Gave up his ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. Are we together? Right? Look at verse 6. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him instantly. Look at verse 7. And it was about the space of 3 hours. You know, if there was Facebook that time, it would have been trending. Man dies for lying to the Holy Ghost. Are we together? One man down. Reason, lying to the Holy Ghost. Are we together? Right? It would have been trending. And if it was trending, Sapphira, his wife, would have seen it. Even if she had not seen it, she should have friends who should be able to say, is it not your husband I'm seeing that they are carrying like this? Altogether. But she didn't know. And she came to the house, right? And she came home, and came to Peter, right? And the young man arose and warned him, verse 7, rather. And it was about the space of 3 hours. So 3 hours long after. You didn't hear from your husband. You didn't know about what happened to your husband. But when his wife, not knowing what was done, she came in. Look at verse 8. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. You see, when you look at this Peter's narrative, you almost think that Peter wanted to show people pepper. You almost think that he wants to just set a template, just leave a template so everybody will realign. Genesis, because the truth is, you probably know that she will come and lie again. Why are you not asking her? Just look at the question now. He said, after 3 hours, Peter answered unto her. We don't have a record of the woman saying something to him. He just answered unto her. That means, by default, he assumed she's already coming with a lie. Are we together? And he just answered and said unto her, he said, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yes, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, well, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which are buried thy husband are at the door, and shall what? Carry thee out. Look at verse 10. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up what? The ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, they buried her by her husband. So a couple, are we together? Yeah, a couple decide. Do you know there's every tendency that they need to lie about the amount they sold the house for? Could not have come to their minds together at the same time. It's possible. It's possible it was one who initiated it and the other had to follow. All together. But remember we saw last week and over the weeks, there is such a thing called consequence by proxy. All together. Now, what we read, is that Numbers? We just read Acts, right? Yeah? Let me tell you something. When you look through the spirit of Jesus, and look at Luke 9. Look at Luke 9. Let me show you something in Luke 9. You know, so that you don't hear what you're not supposed to hear, okay? Look at Luke 9. Look at Luke 9, 54. Look at 53. So they did not receive him because his face was as though he was going to Jerusalem. Verse 54, Luke 9, 54. And when his disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, why would they reject you? Wilt thou that we command what? Fire to come down from heaven and consume them. Even as who? Elijah did. So is it in the Bible that Elijah called down fire? Did fire respond? Okay, so look at Jesus carefully. But Jesus turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's life, but to what? Save them. And they went to another village. So what is Jesus showing you here? Ideally, there's a template that a believer should follow, regardless of what another person does to them. So there's a template Peter should have followed in Acts 5. Is that correct? Yeah, because the Christian, ideally, he should follow Jesus. Right? But one thing you need to be careful about is that people are in different phases of their growth. That's why you realize there's some things that people do to you, and they do it to another person the same thing, but the way both of you handle it are different. Is that correct? Someone can do something to me and do something to you, and the way we'll handle it or the way we'll respond to that person will be different. Different people will have different levels of growth. But what I'm saying to you is that, see, that you have different level of growth is not an excuse. Are we here? Let me ask you a question. If Jesus had said fire should come down, consume like Elijah, would there be a response? Do you think there will be a response? Why will he not have done it? Because that's not the nature of the Father. Are you with me? So don't mix it up. Oh. You get the point? That it is written as these are the consequences does not mean that it is what God would expect that you do ideally. So what did God expect to do, Peter to do to Ananias and Sapphira? No, not just forgive. Oh. Turn and rebuke them, that is, scold them. Are we together? Right? But you see the funny thing about our generation right now. You can have a pastor who can turn and rebuke you, and that will be your end in that church. Meanwhile, you don't know that what he has saved you for is something that could have happened to... Do you know what I'm just painting right now? Do you understand? You can have a pastor who will turn and rebuke you sternly, right? And you don't know that what that rebuke is saving you from is an example of Dathan, Korah, an example of Ananias, an example of Sapphira. But you know, we don't always see the full picture. So what is always there? So you know, Peter would have... That's why you see the record of this thing only happened when Jesus... You know, Jesus had just, you know, ascended. Right, so Jesus just stopped for 40 days. There was the day of Pentecost. So the church was still in the early state. So it means that when you are in the church, it means that your slant... It is the same brother who brought knife to church. It takes a heart to bring a knife to church. Do you understand? Just imagine you have knife and your reason is if any demon you want to cast does not go, you... Are we together? Yeah? If you don't die by the word, you will die by this word. Some of life. Are we together? So, the truth is that Peter still had a long journey in renewing his mind. But happy are you that you don't find yourself in the place of a growing person. Do you understand? Because the truth remains that the growingness does not excuse. And that's why I said, some can recover. Some cannot, may not recover. So, this honor is costly. We also look at how honor, you can get things with honor. You can get things delivered to you through honor. Having honor. Look at Jesus' ministry. Look at Mark 6. Look at how they dishonored him in his own place. And look at how, you know, Jesus went all through in Mark 5, going to Jairus' house to go and heal Jairus' daughter. And whilst he was going, the Bible says that a woman with the issue of blood. We don't know her name. We don't know her surname. Woman, surname, issue of blood. And what happened? The Bible says that she touched the hem of the garment. Look at the honor. Now, there was news around Jesus on the streets. Are we together? That Jesus was going about Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth who went about was doing good, healing them that were oppressed. So that news was on the street. However, with that news, people were still also saying, why is he lying that he's the Son of God? You know, is that not true? People were arguing that, how will you call yourself the Son of God? Who are you to call God Father? So there were different informations on the street, information on the streets, different data on the streets. But guess what? The woman of the issue of blood, she sealed her heart to say, oh no, this man is a man that can get me healed. And if I can touch the hem of his garment, I know how I'll be made whole. I'll be healed. Bible says that she went towards the crowd and pushed towards the crowd. And a woman with an issue. You know, when you have an issue, there's a heart and a slant that you have towards wanting to receive. Altogether. That's why I always say sometimes, right? Don't let it be that when you have issues, you start getting serious with God. Altogether. Yeah? Don't let it be that when you have issues, you start getting serious with God. Some of us, we know how to get serious with God. Some of us, we know, your pastor can know when you are having challenges. Are we together? Your pastor can know, just know that there are challenges. Your pastor can know where everything is going well for you. You know, let me tell you, you can't serve Jesus on your terms. Are we together? You can't serve Jesus on your terms. You can't serve Jesus with convenience. You can't. You can't. You can't. Serving Jesus, following Jesus will not always be convenient. You can't serve Jesus, you can't serve God on your terms. You have to ensure that you serve him on his terms. And his terms says you put me first, the kingdom of God first. Right? The kingdom of God is first and every other thing. You can't serve God on your terms. I remember, you know, during Bible seminar when Pastor Kuku came around, Pastor Kuku said something that has stuck with me and it still sticks with me to tomorrow. He said, when you give your heart a commitment to serving Jesus, you have just kissed convenience goodbye. Yeah? Serving Jesus really just means that you have kissed convenience goodbye with a beautiful peck. And that's how our heart and attitude should be towards serving God. Are we together? Right? So, the woman had an issue. So, I'm saying, don't allow an issue to happen before it pushes you or drags you towards God more. Right? The woman had an issue. Are we together? Right? And in having that issue, she touched. Now, remember, when she touched the garment of Jesus, what happened? The Bible says that Jesus turned back and asked, who touched me? What was the response of the people around him? He said, how will you ask that kind of question? Can't you see how many people are pursuing and following you? How will you be asking who touched you? Are we together? Now, it means that something that can be that full of power and strength can be around you and you'll not even know. Or you'll not even pay attention to it at that time. You know, there's every tendency to be a follower of Jesus and be around Jesus and think the only time you can receive from Jesus is when he's ministering. Are we here? And think it's only when Jesus is on the mic and he's standing in front of everybody, you think that's only when the power is made available. But guess what? As he walked, he was a man of power. And the woman touched him. And what happened? Right? She came, her issue of blood dried up instantly. Then we looked at the Jairus' daughter I was going to. He got there and people were just making noise. Ha, eh, wonder can never end. And it's just last week she got master's. And she just bought that cow. And Jesus got there. The Bible says that Jesus asked everybody to go out. And he asked himself and his disciples, two of them, to go in with himself. And he asked the mother and the daughter, mother and the father of the child. Is that correct? Right? And the, who again? Okay, three disciples. The three disciples, the father of the child, the daughter of the child, and Jesus himself, correct, and the dead child. And what happens? And it says, Talitha kum, right? Yeah? And it says, come out. I was together. And what happened? She came back to life. Praise God. Right? You know? So when you see how honor is displayed, and like I said, honor is both a thing of the heart and a thing of acts. You can't claim to honor someone and you're only having it in your heart. Are we together? Yeah, honor will be displayed. It will be materialized. It will be displayed. It will be evidently seen. Right? You see someone and you know that this person honors this person. Are we together? Now we've looked over time and looked at relationships that we need to honor. We said you must ensure you honor your spouse. Ensure you honor your husband, your wife. Ensure you honor your children as well who are believers. Ensure you honor your siblings as well. Ensure you honor your bosses. Ensure you honor your fellow colleagues as well. Ensure you give yourself to honor. Right? In all forms and all shapes and all kinds. Are we together? Let me tell you, people can dishonor you, but don't allow people's dishonor make you become a man of dishonor. Are we together? People can dishonor you, but don't allow people's dishonor make you become a man or a woman of dishonor. Are we together? Right? Yeah? Because the truth is, you will find very interesting things, right? Even as myself, as a pastor, I've experienced and seen in a couple of times proper outright dishonor. You know, regardless of that, I still get myself in a place to ensure that as much as I can give, I give. Are we together? Right? Because I'm a man of honor. I'm not a man of honor that is honorable because people are honorable to me. It's a slant I have built my heart to have. So you can choose to be honorable in spite and despite. Like I told you last week, right? Honor never forgets. Yeah? Honor never forgets. Honor never forgets. You had a pastor who has labored over your life. You have a pastor who has labored over your life in the past. Are we together? And he did something wrong to you. Yeah? And because of that, you now keep carrying that gist up and down. Start saying, this is what this person did do. The other person, no. That's not honorable. As long as it was one you once gave a sense of double honor as your pastor, as a leader. All together, yeah? Author of Hebrews will say, pray for us, for we hope to have a good conscience. Pray for us, right? Pastors, remember, the best of men is a man. Is that correct? So it means men will be full and filled with flaws. You get the point. Men will be full of flaws. And that is not an excuse for you as a pastor, as a leader, to just be enjoying flaws and just say, after all, you should understand men are full of flaws. No. As a pastor, you should be a worthy example. You see, as a pastor, as a leader, you should be a crisp example of how a believer should be. And as a believer, when you see a pastor, you see an example of who you can become. Are we together? Some of us just have that disparity in our minds. That is pastor. It's pastor that should be able to act that way and be devoted to Jesus that way. No, it is pastor that is behaving that way to show us a template of who you can become. Are we together? So you will find out that in the country, in the world rather, we'll find ourselves right now, dishonor seems to be prevalent. Well, you see somebody who they just gave birth to a few years ago. And when I mean few, really few. Having the audacity to call men of God who God has used for millions of people around the globe, calling them names. Are we together? Don't join that bandwagon. When you see people dishonor, and like I told you, as long as I'm your pastor, anywhere you see them talk about the pastor, get out of the place. You don't have any business there. The devil plays a long game. He's working on you. If you can tolerate a place where they are talking about another pastor, one day you will talk about your pastor. Well, light to light, someone will be liar. Bow. I tell you for free. You will tolerate it one day. You will tolerate it. And I've seen it evidently. If you can stay where you're talking about pastors, I tell you, right? I have people who just like to gather themselves and just, you know, before you know, I don't know, we'll talk. Some of us to enter out to talk about doctrine. He's talking about pastor, men. And I've learned the art, and the character of trying to put people in their place. Are we together? Yeah, put people in their place, right? This man has been a blessing to our generation. This woman has been a blessing to our generation. And if that's the case, they remain God's vessel because God will always use men. You see, you cannot recruit God to like who you don't like or to hate who you don't like. The other said that you don't like somebody does not mean God will not use them. You cannot recruit God to say, this person, I feel like they've fallen from grace. Any name you call it, the truth remains that God will use men. That's why you see across scriptures, there's not a single man you see without a flaw that you can point to. There's not one. Is it Abraham? Is it Moses? Right? Is it David? You see several of them, but yet they were God's men. Now look at how the authors of New Testament books write about them. They write about them without showing us their flaws. I'm saying if you had only Matthew to Revelation, you will not know that David killed a woman because he was in lust. You won't know it. You won't know that Moses fought somebody and killed a guy. You won't know about the wars and rumors and everything that was that will be found across scriptures. Right? It's God's design and God's plan for you to be honorable. Like I always say again, that does not mean if you find yourself in a position as a pastor, I always ensure that I remind myself that I see myself as a privileged first amongst equal. Are we together? God did not choose me because I'm better than you in character or in features. No. Yeah? It's God's way of choosing and doing things. Right? So I dare not think of myself as someone who is a very perfect person. I'm all perfect. And that's what I tell you. When it comes to things of the spirit, for instance, you know, as a man, you can miss God as well. You can miss God as well. You know, you can have a bias towards something, but God is saying something else. But because of your bias, you will stick with what you are staying with. It happens to me a lot of times. So, and what helps me go through those phases, I always remind myself, I'm yet but a man. But remember, it is not your place to remind yourself that your pastor is yet but a man. Altogether. Yeah? I hope you know you are yet but a man. You are telling your pastor. It's not your place. That's why you see Peter, for instance, will be having a vision, for instance, having a trance, and he will see a man, he will see four-footed beast let down to him, and Bible says, angels say, rise, kill, and eat Peter. And what happens? He says, I don't touch things that are unclean. The message of animals was used to communicate the message that needs to be sent to the household of Cornelius. And what happened? Cornelius, who Peter rejected in the dream. You get the point? He called Cornelius uncircumcised, unclean. Guess what happened? Cornelius, a man of honor, Bible says in Acts chapter 10 verse 1, right, a band leader. I would get, so he knew what authority meant or spoke about. Bible says he spoke about Peter well in his household. I went together. Then he sent three men to go and he chartered a private jet to go and bring Peter. I went together, right? And the private jet came and landed. And as the private jet landed, what happened? Cornelius laid his red rug at the foot of the private jet and he lied down flat on his face. I went together. What did Peter say? Oh no, please stand up. More often than not, when you see a humble pastor, when people are lying to them, he tells them stand up. When people are lying to them, he tells them stand up. But you are not the one to tell yourself that, no, you express your own honor. Are we together? You express your own honor. Yeah? It's godly. It's godly. Are we together? Yes, you saw the woman of Zarephath, is that correct? Who fed Elijah? Is that correct? Yeah? And led to the miracle of Sunday man, the Syrian. Right? And Elijah said, go and dip yourself in the water. And what happened? The Bible says the leprosy fell off and he began to have skins like a baby's skin. Altogether, because of honor. Altogether. So it means you can get a lot because of honor or through honor. Is that correct? We also said, for instance, the gospel is designed in such a way that anybody who rejects you as a minister of the gospel, they've rejected life. Is that true? Because if I preach to you and you don't reject me, you've rejected what I come with. If I preach to you and you dishonor me, that means you reject what I come with. You stay in unbelief. It means you rejected what life I came with. You see that across scripture. Look at that in Acts chapter 28, verse 8 to 10. Look at that in Acts chapter 13, verse 46. Look at Acts. Let's look at the Acts 28 version. Acts 28, verse 8. Acts 28, verse 8. Acts 28, verse 8 to 10. Look at what it says. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed. And what happened? He laid his hands on him and what? Healed him. Is that laying on of hands? Look at verse 9. It says, so when this was done, others also which had what? Diseases in the island, they came and they were what? Healed. Look at verse 10. Who also honored us with many honor. Is that correct? And when we departed, they laded us with such things as were worth. Is that honor? So that means they expressed honor. Let me show you what happened before then. Go back to verse 1. And when they were escaped, then they knew. You don't forget, if you look at verse 45, 44 of the next previous chapter, you know, there was a storm and, you know, things, the ship just went on its way and all of those things. And they escaped to a safe land, right? And when they had escaped, verse 1 of 28, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the Barbados people showed us no little kindness. Listen to what I'm about to show you. For they kindled the fire and received us everyone because of the present rain and because of the cold. Look at verse 3. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks, what happened? And laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened onto his hand. What did barbarians say? And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer. Imagine. Whom though he had escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth. So what you call karma in our world. Is that true? Mm-hmm. That's right. And he shook up the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit, they looked when he should what? Have swallowed up. That means after the snake cut his hand, he shook it off. He went back into the fire. They were waiting. Okay, when will you drop dead? Is that correct? Yeah. He says, and he said they were waiting for him to fall down suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and they saw no harm came to him, what happened? They changed their mind and said that he was a god. Look at verse 7. In the same quarters were possession of the chief man in the of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us for 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius, you see that? So what happened? The man called Publius housed Paul. And he saw something supernatural about Paul, even though at first there was nothing supernatural about him. So it means you can meet someone and not know that they are prophets and servants of God. But the moment you find that out, your slant towards them changes instantly. It's godly. Are we together? It's godly. Because that's the only way you can receive if there's anything to be collected or received from that person. Mind you, at first, Publius is supposed to be honorable towards all men, including Paul that just came into his home. But guess what? Yes, there's honor for that man that just came to his home, but there's such a thing called double honor for God's men and God's servants. And what happened? The Bible says Paul laid hands on his father and his father got healed. And other people who were diseased as well came around and Paul laid hands in honor to receive. are all together. So honor is very important. So with honor, you can receive. You know, with honor, you can. There's no time you lose anything when you're honorable. You don't lose anything when you're honorable. Let me tell you something. If you're honorable to a pastor, right, and even though he doesn't pray for you to be healed or prays for any supernatural thing to happen in your life, yeah, the fact that that honor marks a stamp in his heart is 1-0 already. Are you here? Yeah, the fact that he marks a stamp already, it is there. Right? So, we look at Hebrews 13:17, for instance. At Hebrews 13:17. So, honor is something that you should allow your heart to be filled with. Hebrews 13:17. It says, obey them that have rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they have watch over your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable to you. So, who is it unprofitable to when one stays in dishonor? The person who stays in dishonor. Are we together? The person who stays in dishonor is the one that has what to pay for, what to suffer from. Now, let's look at a few things around honor amongst believers this morning. Right? Look at Genesis 11:27. You know, in our world and day, where you see people who just jump and hop churches. You know, I can't remember where I heard this example from. You know that if, you know that woman by the side of the well, Jesus came and said, go and call your husband for me. And the woman said, I don't have any husband. Huh? I'm not married, right? Okay. And what did Jesus say? He said, that's said, right? Yeah, that you have been with how many men? Five men. And the one you are even with right now is not your what? Is not your husband. Uh-huh. Yeah, you know, someone gave a joke about it and said even Jesus can do that about it, some of our believers today. What local church are you in today? Jesus will say, that's why you said right, for you've been in five local churches. And the local church you are in right now, you are planning to leave next week. You are planning to leave next week. You know, some of us change local churches like diaper. Are we together? You just change local church. You know, and that's to tell you don't know what you want for yourself. See, there's a difference when you change local church because of relocation, because of changing environment. But you're within this. How can you be in Edinburgh and you're in your seventh church? What are you looking for? Sound teaching. What are you looking for? This and yeah, it's a different thing when you have prompting. Now, you can have promptings and leadings to leave. But ensure it is prompting and leading. Do you understand? You know, some people join local churches because of fine girls. I pastor people who have reached out to me on different occasions who told me there's a church they want to go to for their midweek service because they want to look for girls. I'm saying me. Are we together? Eh? As for our church, all our sisters are the way they are. Okay, they are taken. Good way to see it. All our sisters are taken. Right? You want to go to church where there are more ladies. Some people go to some churches because there are more. Some people go to some churches because they call them celebrity church. All the celebrities are here. Are we together? Yeah, there's nothing wrong with the celebrities being in your church. But you know, there's such a thing called making it look like a normal thing. I understand. Let me tell you something. Because the Bible teaches about honor for the governmental people in power. If the king, is that correct? King Charles, is that correct? So if the king walks in here today, the truth is that we are going to all stand up and honor him well and give him his seat. Because the Bible teaches it. Are we here? Are you with me? It's taught in scriptures, right? If the king walks in here, right, we will not just say, oh God, go sit at the bar. Anywhere you sit here, sit. No. We won't say that. If the president of the country walks into the meeting, we have to give them the honor they deserve. Because it's now become God's structure to put order in the environment, in the society. But an untrained charlatan, someone who doesn't have home training, goes for Big Brother Nigeria or Africa, and you honor them in the church, that's insane. That's insane. You look at a human being from up to down, and what you did as your success is to go and behave silly and stupid and ridiculous. Now, it's different if you've changed from that stupid lifestyle. Do you understand? I will bring this to you and say, we have in our midst. A camera will now put it in front of you. And people will say, who? We have in our midst a man of many divergences. A man of... And people will now start clapping. Then what happened? When church now, people now start taking selfie. Guess who was in church today? And guess what? Churches, a lot of times, they will post that content intentionally to show of the truth. It's almost as if those people went there to validate the church. What an insane practice in the local churches today. Are we together? What did you do? You sang song. What song did you sing? Okay, you're number one on Billboard. And what? And so? Are we together? Then you see people guarding themselves and chatting themselves. A lot of times, the problem, the people at fault are we pastors. When you see a church, when people are putting video in front of themselves to record themselves cry during worship, the problem is the pastor and leadership. The people have problem. They exclude them. But the greater problem is the pastor and the leadership who will see those things and close their eyes to it. How did we get there? Where did we get there? How did we find ourselves in those kind of situations? How? For what? For crowd? For crowd? Are we together? You know, you can pastor a church and people who are in the church are unbelievers. Oh, you don't know unbelievers can get. Have you not asked yourself a question? Why is it that somebody will come to a church after 4 months of coming to church? Pastor will still say, you want to give your life to Christ. You are running forward. 4 months. Are we together? Yeah? So you need to ensure that, you know, in everything you do, maintain honor for God's word. And as long as God's word teaches it, we stay with it. So, when Jesus, I said all of that to say this. There's such a thing called supernatural relationships. Are we together? Now, every one of you in God's palace today, right, it's a privilege that you have to share common identity with people who are seated around you. Are we together? So, there's a relationship we have with ourselves in God's palace, and we also have with those who are not members of God's palace, but are Christians. Are we together? So, it means that there's a bias we have towards believers, as long as you're a believer. Whether you are a church member or not, we have a bias towards a believer. In scriptural, right? Like Peter will teach. Yeah, honor all men, particularly the what? The brotherhood. We saw that now. Particularly the brotherhood, right? You know, but there's really a thing called people allowing strife to get into their hearts and begin to walk in dishonor. Look at Genesis 11. Let me show you one quickly. You know, don't forget, the things that are written aforetime, Romans 15:4. They're written for our what? Our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of scriptures might what? Might have hope. Look at Genesis chapter 11, verse 27. Now, these are the generations of Terah. And Terah begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran begat Lot. So, who is Abram to Lot? Uncle. Uncle Abram is to Lot. Is that correct? So, Lot will refer to Abram as an uncle. And Aaron died before his father Terah, in the land of his nativity, in all of the Chaldeans. Verse 29. And Abraham and Nahor took them wives. The name of Abraham's wife was what? Sarai. And the name of Nahor's wife was what? Milcah. And the daughter of Haran, right? The father of Milcah and the father of Iscah. Look at verse 31 to 3, go. But Sarah was barren and she had no child. Now go to chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee what? Out of the country and from thy kindred. Who was the firstborn of Terah? From how they wrote it, it's probably Abraham. Okay, so Abraham is the oldest. Is that correct? Yeah, so now God says to Abraham, get thee out of the country and from thy kindred and from thy what? Father's house. Unto a what? A land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name what? Great. And thou shalt be a what? A blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and what? And curse them that curse thee. Now, the word bless just really means to welcome into. The word curse means to be without or to stay outside. Are we together? So take note of that. Yeah, I'll bless them that bless you means, so look at that practice when it comes to preaching the gospel. God has told Abraham that I'll bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you. When you preach the gospel, right, anyone you preach the gospel that receives is blessed on account of your blessing. But anybody who rejects is cursed. That means is not welcomed in. Not because they were turned away, but because they were, their actions put them in unbelief and put them away. So I'll bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you. And in thee shall the families of the earth be blessed. So who was God's man in Abraham's generation? Abraham. Don't forget, we are all equal by the Spirit. Don't forget. Yeah? But not everybody has the same function. Let me tell you something. There are people who have oversight over certain countries and nations and towns. That if God wants to speak about those towns, they will be the people he will go to. Why is there other people who are doing something similar to what they are doing? Are we together? So the Bible is used in such a way that it shows you that God has men in every generation. Are we together? Yeah? It is God's will that in a gathering of people, there is a man. Yeah? Anything that has two heads is a monster. Are we together? A man can have a team, but there's a man. You get the point, right? A man can have a team of people. Ideally, should have a team of people. Right? But the truth is that there will be one. In local church, God's palace as of today, there is one person who God will hold accountable for what is being done here. It is not you. Are we together? Right? It is one person. You get the point? Right? So, God will have men in different generations. So, Abraham was one of God's men. Look at verse 4. So, Abraham departed in verse 4. Look at verse 7 for time. And the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, unto thee, unto thy seed will I give this land. So, the promise was to Abraham. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain unto the east of where? Bethel, and pitched his tent. Having Bethel on the west, and Hai on the east, and there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And verse 9 says, and Abraham journeyed going on still towards the south. Look at verse 10. And there was famine in the land, and Abraham went down into where? Egypt, to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. Look at verse 11. And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, then he said unto his wife, behold, now I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore, it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, they shall say, is this your wife? And they will kill me, because they want you to get married, don't want to get married to you, don't have something to do with you. Verse 13. So I pray thee, say that thou art what? My sister, that it may be well with me for your sake. Reverse psychology. Are we together? He says, it may be well with somebody that doesn't want to die. He says, it may be well with me for your sake. Right? And my soul shall live because of thee. And it came to pass that Abraham, once he came into Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman that was fair, that means she was beautiful. The princes of also of Pharaoh saw her, and commanded her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken to Pharaoh's house, and he entered and entreated Abraham. I hope you know, Pharaoh is an office, not a person. Some of you, I hope you know. Don't just say yes with everybody, because some people took them time before they realized Pharaoh is not a person. There were several Pharaohs. So Pharaoh is an office, like the president of the country, or minister of the country. I would get. So the Pharaoh in Abraham's time is not the Pharaoh in Joseph's time. You get the point, right? Okay? Yeah? So, and they took him to Pharaoh's house, verse 18, and Pharaoh called Abraham and said, what is this that thou hast done to me? Why didn't thou tell me that she was your wife? Go back to verse 17. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. He now called him and said, why did you tell me this is your wife? Why sayest thou she is your sister, so I might have taken her to be my wife? Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her and go your way. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away and his wife. So, what do you see God doing here? Regardless of the flaws of Abraham, God still sided with his man. Is he going to lie? No, he shouldn't have lied. But in the flaws of men, the ones that God chooses, God still sides with them. You get the point? God will still side with his man. Now go to chapter 20, verse 1. It happened again. Abraham journeyed from thence towards the south country and dwelt within Kadesh and Shur. And Abraham said unto his wife, she is my sister, Abimelech, the king of Gerar. So this is another king. Now go to verse 6. Right? And God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou did this with integrity of your heart. For I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore, suffer I thee not to touch her. Now therefore, restore the man his wife. For he is a what? A prophet, and he shall pray for thee. Did Abraham lie again? Twice. So Abraham lied twice to two kings. And yet, in that, God still sided with his man. Are we together? That's a loyal God. Is that correct? He stays through to his cause. Are we together? And stays through to his men. Right? For he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live, and if thou restore her not, knowing that thou shalt surely die. Are we together? Therefore, Abimelech rose up in the morning and called all the servants and told them all the things that happened. So, we see something very important, that God still sided with his men. So, ignorance is not an excuse. Are we together? Ignorance is not an excuse. Be honorable to all. Are we together? Yeah? Be honorable to all. Ensure that you have that sense of honor. Like I tell you, see, do everything you can to ensure you remind yourself that this is somebody you are giving double honor to. Are we together? Right? So, it's not a cost to refer to your leaders or pastor. Let me use pastor particularly. Yeah, you have a pastor of a local church. It's not a cost to refer to your pastor as a brother, for he's a brother. Is that correct? But to help your mind, it is safer and better for you to show and remind yourself that this person, though a brother, he has something more for me than another brother in the local church. Are you here? Who does it help? It helps you. altogether. Yeah. So don't, when you see some of us say things like this, nobody is questing. I told you, I've never introduced myself as a pastor before. Nobody is craving an office or position. In fact, you more often in my office, they don't know I pastor. This is over 2 years. People I've worked with. Do you understand? But some of them know. Some of them found out I do when I started preaching to them. Some of them, I preached to them one. I preached to one lady one day, and she went on Instagram and went to go and find. And you know what? She just typed the choices on Google. Everything that follows is gospel. We're together, right? And she found out. She didn't act anything until one day like this. She was trying to push word into my mouth. I said, "What are you saying? You've gone to look for me, yeah? You know, yeah." So I don't look forward to it. I don't. Yeah. So if people refer to your pastor, right, in a way that will not make you honor and regard that person, right? That is them. Leave it for them. Are we together? Leave it for them. Yeah? So that's why I say nicknames for your pastors does not help you. Yeah? Nickname does not make you devilish. Amen? Amen. Calling your brother, your pastor, bro, brother, does not make you devilish. But the truth is that your heart in this generation where dishonor is almost palpable is something that is almost everywhere for your own sake. That's why you don't blame people who call their pastor. You know, I was telling you, I was talking to some people. I was telling the leaders a few weeks ago. I was saying, how did I have a problem with people calling their pastor, sir? Yes, sir. You know, some people, they call their pastor, sir. I was together. That's how I refer to Pastor Shego as well. I was together, right? What am I doing? I remember there was a day I was having a chat, you know, but I didn't, like I said, I had to drive for a long distance. You understand? So Sister Esther here was, you know, with the car with me, and she was helping me just put some chats together I was going to send to pastor, you know. And, you know, it got to the point she had to know. Because almost after every sentence, it is sa, sa, sa. Are you here? What am I doing to myself? To remind myself, this is not my mate, so. What I'm saying to you is that I'm not saying he's not my mate because culturally he's older than me. I'm saying if he was the one who God led me to and he was younger than me, he still deserves that same honor. Are we together? Yeah, you see my chat with him, almost every sentence, it starts with sir, end with sir. Sir, what date are you coming, sir? It might look ridiculous to some people. That's how I've chosen to keep my heart in sanity. Are we together? Right? That's how I've chosen to keep my heart in sanity. Right? When I refer to pastors, for instance, or pastor, even pastor for a lot of my pastor friends, right? Except some of them who are very, very close to me. For instance, when we have people like Pastor Ibu Kimesi, I refer to him, you know, in different manners. We refer to ourselves in different ways. Obviously, we are friends. But we know how to receive from ourselves as well. Are we together? Yeah, we know how to. AB is my friend. He's been my friend for years. Yeah, there was a day he finished preaching, and the Spirit of God led me to give him a seed and to kneel down for him to lay hands on me. That's the one you saw yesterday. This was probably 10 years ago. I'm sure he hasn't even forgotten. My friend, though, my G friend, right? But in that, I know how to receive. You get the point? That's my friend. Yeah? It wasn't my pastor, it wasn't my leader, right? Now, why did I do that? I knew that I've gotten so, so close to him. And for me to get myself in a place to remember that I'm receiving something from this man as God's vessel, I took a posture of humility. Who benefits from it? It is me. Are we together? Yeah? His first response will be stand up. Are we together? You know, but the words he spoke over my life are the things that I'm still seeing in my life today. That was my friend. You get the point? So you should know how to ensure you keep your heart to show. So you can know somebody, for instance, today, if you find out somebody is your colleague and everything, and you find out that they are a pastor, the truth is that change your stand from that moment. Now that does not mean that in meetings in your office, pastor, can you give us an update? No. That's not what I'm saying, you know. Yeah, but you know how to draw the line. Now, I'm a culturally trained boy, okay? Yeah? I'm a Yoruba boy. There's a man in my company, right? He turned 63 years ago. I was together. He's a business analyst. And, you know, he worked under my supervision on some projects like that. You know, when we are on the call, we speak like we're on the call. But the moment that call ends, see, today I've never called his name outside an office call, by his first name. Never. He's not a pastor. I'm just saying this is me giving honor to a colleague who is way older. His last child, he has about 4 or 5 children, his last child is older than me. I cannot join this nonsense woke generation and say that because we are all here, everybody here. I wouldn't do it though. If you like, say I'm a very old boy, I prefer the old style. I can't do it. Why? Someone, you're older, probably older than my dad. Are we together? Right? You know, this girl is somebody who is also, you know, you see how fragile, or what's the word? It is. Frail, I mean, to say fragile, sorry. You got the point. Now, what I'm saying to you now is the way I was brought up. That's my culture. But why am I saying this to you? You can pick one or two from it. Right? That honor is expressive. Are we together? Honor is expressive. Right? So, look at an example between Abraham and Lot. We've looked at what happened between Abraham and two kings. Look at Genesis chapter 13. Now, in Abraham's generation, who did God make a promise to? Abraham. Now, look at Genesis 13. Was Lot in the picture when God made a covenant with Abraham? Was Lot in the picture? Did God have Lot in mind? Huh? Did God have Lot in mind? Ah, yes, now. You understand? So, when God picks a man in the generation, he has that generation in mind. Are we together? A friend of mine was talking to me, you know, a few days ago. He was saying that because he had contact, introduced him to my dad, and you know, my dad began to pastor them until they passed, you know. And he said, in my dad's generation, he doesn't see any generation where there will be nobody that will be a pastor, that will be a preacher, or that will serve Jesus with their full heart. And then, and what he said sounded very silly, but I went back to think about it. You see, there are some men that when God picks them, it affects a generation, not even just their immediate line, even people around. All together. So it's very, very important for you to never forget that, too. Don't put yourself to say we're all equal, though. I can tell you for free. Over the years, I used to mice these words, but let me tell you for free, in the body of Christ, we're not all equal. Altogether, I'll give you an example of one of you here. Some of you here who asked me a question. Right? I said, if this particular man comes to this city, will I be there? I said, I'll be there if I have the privilege to see him. Give him a gift. Altogether, what people call seed. Altogether, give him a gift. Get my knees to the ground. And give him my head to massage. I'm not even joking with you. Yeah? I will not be silly and stupid to think that because I know the Greek word of Terah is Tero, and it doesn't use Greek word, and I feel like I've arrived. That's why people short their destinies earlier than normal. Places where you're supposed to go to and receive, you are going there to go and count yourself as a number. Altogether, any special meeting I go for anything, I've never for once gone there and got to go and say, I want to introduce myself. I am. Archbishop Reverend. If I want to be ordained Reverend between now and this time next year, I know the strings to pull. It's not joking. If you want to be ordained Reverend, I know the string to pull. Now, I'll pull it. This time next year, you call me Reverend Joshua Yusuf. If I want to add apostle, I know what to do. Now. They will consecrate me and give me robe. Altogether, but I've left all of those things behind me. Why? Having a heart of true service. Right, so when you see us saying things like, you know, how you refer to your pastor is very important. Don't give your pastor's nickname. It's not for us, so it doesn't make us any better. Yeah, I have more people in this life. I have times 1,000 of people who call me pastor that don't call me pastor. I have more people who are not in God's palace than my friends who don't refer to me as pastor. Yet they still receive from me, even without them addressing me as pastor. Altogether, right? You know, so I've never gone for me. I remember when I started going for Carrie's camp meeting I've gone to Carrie's camp meeting every year since 2018. I remember when I first went there, right? I would just go there, pack my bag, just sit at the front. Because Carrie's camp meeting, once the first session is about to start, people go there one day before to keep chair. In their thousands, I'm not even joking with you. You see people, once you come to the auditorium, like 24 hours before the meeting time, you'll just see Bibles and notebook on the first 20 rows. And 20 rows is not 20, 1, 2, 3. I'm saying 20 rows, each of them has like probably 1,000 chairs. People will arrange. So me, I had some friends then. Now, these are people who I've been friends with them for almost 20 years now. We're in primary school, you know. We've been fervent for God since then. However, when I went to secondary school, and they were secondary school, they found God, found pastor. I found God, I found pastor. Right? Then we met in NYC camp. They're my friends. Yeah? But I'll talk about this another time. You know, so what they usually do for me was that because they will go early, it was even for me to get leave from work and everything, they will keep a chair for me. They will fight for that chair. I remember one morning like this, last session just finished around probably 10 or 10:30. Right? So next session is starting at 6:30. I mistakenly left my phone on alarm, on stop, on for it to ring. The thing rang at around 2 a.m. Emoji, come now. Your chair is about to be taken. Church is 6:30, this is 2 a.m. He said, we've been fighting for this chair, but it looks like the ushers want to take it. Come now. I mean, so what did I do? Quick, got up, dressed up, went there. So I sat in the room like this from 2 a.m. to 6:30. Things we do for meetings. I was together, right? In fact, there was one time, I don't lie to you as a pastor. It got to me so bad. I said, I'm going to sleep this day. You carry the chair. Because how can you finish meeting 10:30? And you've been fasting since morning, more often than not. You've been fasting. You have to use 10:30 to 12 to shower and to eat. 2 o'clock. I've just even, the sleep has not as well that gear too. You are saying they want to take my chair. Let them take the chair, please. Yeah, I think I did that once or twice. I said, see, this is my brother. As you are saying, like, you cannot keep it. Forget about it. When I write that, what I do, I walk to them in front. I pick my Bible, I go back to the back and sit down. By listening, I take my notes there. Then the pastor from the community saw me. You are in this meeting? Where are you sitting now? And she said to me, he said, don't sit anywhere else apart from the front. Why? So that when pastor wants to minister to pastor, he sees you first. After I started sitting in the front, in community, he said, you can't be sitting in front. Pastor always wants the people who follow him to sit on the dedicated first 2 rows for them, or first 3 rows for them. And I said, if that woman didn't see me, I will not be telling myself, say, I am pastor, God's palace. We have 2 branches. One is half come all the way from the international one. I need a seat in front. Never done that. Anywhere I see seat, I see that, I find I get ministered to. The God who sees my heart will allow them to bring. The day pastor called me to the stage to lay hands on me, I was not sitting in front. And yet, in the midst of thousands, God still laid it on his heart to call my full name, and I came. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So the front is, why do you see people looking for authority and position and all those things? Their understanding of service is still far. You get the point? Yeah? So look at an example of what you're seeing in Acts chapter 13. Once we try to wrap up today. And Abraham went up out of Egypt. That's after they had given him back his wife. Genesis. What did I say? I'm sorry. Genesis 13. Sorry. Yeah? And after they gave him back his wife, he went out of Egypt and all of those things. And verse 2. And Abraham was very what? Rich in cattle and in silver and in what? Gold. That means Abraham was a wealthy man. Look at verse 3. And he went on his journey from south even to Bethel, unto a place where his tent had been. At the beginning between Bethel and Hai, and also the place of the altar, which he had made there for the first. And there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with him, with Abraham, had flocks. So did Abraham have flocks? Flocks. Did Lot have as well? So did Lot have heads and tents? On account of who do you think Lot would have been wealthy? His uncle. Are we together? Now look at verse 6. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substances was great, so that they could not dwell together. Look at verse 7. 1, 2, 3, go. Verse 7. Let's read again together. 1, 2, 3, go. And there was a strife between the headsmen of Abraham's cattle and the headmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanites and the Perizzites dwell then in the land. And verse what? 8. And Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I praise thee, between me and thee, and between my headsmen and their headsmen. For we are what? Brethren. Are we here? Yeah. So what are you supposed to pick from this? This story is trying to show you an example of relationship that exists between what? Brethren in the church. So what happened? Abraham, a wealthy man, has a covenant with God. What happens? And Lot also partook of that. But the headsmen of them started fighting. My Oga is not like your Oga. Is that not true? My Oga is the male Oga. Your Oga is the junior Oga. Yeah. And what now happened? There was strife. And what did Abraham say, the matured one? He said what? Come, my brother. See, we are blood. These ones are people working for us. Let there be no strife between you and I pray thee. Now look at verse 8, verse 9. Are we there? Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left, then I will go to the right. And if thou depart to the right, then I will go to the left. What did Lord do? Lord lifted up. You know, that sounded like a good suggestion. Wow, you mean I should take a full left? You will take only right? Yeah? You know, some counselors can come like that, but it is for you to run away from them. So what now happened now? And Lord lifted up his eyes, and behold, all the plain of Jordan, that was very watered. He saw the most beautiful one, where there's oil and gas. All together. He saw the one where there's oil and gas. He says into petroleum engineering. Right? And he went there, and he went before the Lord. And look at what he said. Before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Sir. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east, and the what? They separated themselves, the one from the other. Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. But the men of Sodom were what? Wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thy hands and look from the place where thou art now, not what and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land which thou seest to thee. So what did God do? To thee will I will what? I will give it to and to thy seed. And I will make thy seed of, as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be what? Be numbered. Okay, so what happens? A man, Abraham, had properties. Lot became rich by virtue of his relationship with Abraham. And got to a point, strife broke into the local church. And what did the pastor say? Well, pastor of the church says, Pastor Abraham says, you know what? We have two major branches. Look at one branch there, look at one branch there. So he picked the branch in UK, so pastor can remain in Kupwa. All together, right? Or pastor can remain in Area 1. All together, Kokalada. All together, right? And what now happens? Eventually, he goes out. And he picked his own side. I said, that's colorful. He looks bright and colorful, for it's an international door that is opening unto him. You know, what if God was going to supernaturally protect Abraham? Would that include those under the covering of Abraham? So is that such a thing called covering? There was a training video someone sent to me about how one pastor was saying that there's no covering. Listen to me carefully, right? I understand some words have been taken extreme, but there's some things that are facts. I can tell you for free, there's some things that will not happen to you because of the association of the man you are following. I won't go into the story for today, but Lot suffered. You know, when Abraham was coming back and he met Melchizedek, it was Lot he went to rescue. Are we together? You know, when Sodom and Gomorrah was supposed to be destroyed, I hope you know, Sodom and Gomorrah was not destroyed because of homosexuality. Are we together? Yeah? They had a slant of unbelief towards the message of the gospel. And what did Lot do? The colorful land that Lot picked was destroyed. Guess what? Abraham still went to go and what? Three times Lot got into trouble. Abraham went to still rescue him. Father Abraham. Are we together? You know, the wars that Lot was fighting, he shouldn't afford them if he remained within the camp of Abraham. Let me tell you something. Yeah? If you like, don't use the word covering. You know, some of us that like to be more tushar than the Bible. You don't need any covering. No man can be your covering. Jesus is our covering. See, we are telling you for fact and for free. Jesus covers all of us. But there are some things, the same way there are consequences of dishonor by association, there are repercussions and consequences of honor by association. Are we together? Imagine how blessed you are because of who I'm connected to. Are we together? Imagine how blessed. I went through a few things as a pastor in the last, like I said, the best part of the last 12 months into 18 months. Right? And you know, a call with pastor just got me, like, you can't even imagine. Like, you know, when people have experiences, it counts in ministry. I hope you know. Experience counts, too. People say experience is the best teacher. The truth is, learn from the experiences of others. So me, when I was to call pastor, I type, you know, I always like to be organized. I type all my points. I laid everything down before the throne. Open my document. I was reading it one by one, saying it everything. He listened to me for 15 minutes. I say, Bishop, you just do this and do that and do this and that. Yapu to me. I said, who did this to me 20 years ago? He gave me a year. He said, this is what it did. This is what it did. I'm just going to say, you do this and do that and do that. And that. Let me tell you, that thing, I could have taken 40 days prayer and fasting like Elijah. And in my 40 days, I might not still get how to do it that way. That's covering. I have access to Jesus. He has access to Jesus. Are we together? There are some things you are praying for. It's in the lips of another man. When you see people talking like that, they've not come to value that God uses men. Now, I understand a lot that people take that thing out of context. People take it to the extreme. But let me tell you something. when you find your covering, stay there. Don't allow social media bandwagons to get you out of where you should be beneficial. That's what happened to Lot. How can you be serving your uncle for this number of years? Will you come and take it? And Abraham general, he said, don't let us fight. We are brethren. Okay, if you say we should fight, that's okay. What part of the property do you want to take? He took it. Sometimes you are going through certain things because of what you've put yourself or the people you've taken yourself out of. Everybody should be accountable. Let me tell you something. If you are here, listen to me carefully, right? If you are here, right, and you are not married, let me say differently, right? One of the things you want to find in someone that you will marry, both male and female, is who can call that human being to order. If you have anybody who you want to marry, who the father cannot speak to them, they don't have their mother to speak to them, they don't have an uncle, they don't have a pastor, better still, pastor, that can speak to them, that they want to do something and they will shake. That eventually if they do it, you would know even in your mind that they must have shooken. I mean, is that the word? They shaked. They shook. I'm saying they still did it though. But you could have been, you know, you can imagine. Are we together? Right? There's some things, for instance, I remember when I was growing up, you know, those words from my dad, they kept me. Remember the song. There's some things, you know, I remember when I was in JS there about, when it's time for, there's something that's called open day. I don't know if they still do it in schools today. You know, open day. Open day is when your parents come and check. My parents, if you do 5 open day in a term, they will come. My parents, they came for, there was no one. In fact, in most of my classes, right, my parents were the ones that, there are some things where only my parents that came out of 25 children. Only my parents will come. Once you just see my dad at the door. Once you see my mom at the door. Right? There's some things that I did not do because I imagine if my father hears I put cigar, maybe his leg I'll start using to smoke from then. But I know there's trouble. You should have people like that. Are we together? You know, today, if I want to do something else now, my wife just say, I'll tell mom for you. You know, there's a way my heart should shiver. That's my wife. That's my mother. I can decide to say, wife, mother, together, all are girls. People act that way. Is that not correct? You now tell me, Joshua, this is your idea. I'm going to tell Pastor Shebu. Is that moment it stops? That moment, just say bye-bye. You will experience it again. I'm not telling you to go and be doing it. There are level to these things. He's probably listening to me now. Altogether, you should have somebody that you are accountable to. Someone that can call you to order and scold you. That can scold you and will not care about what you have or what you don't have. Some of us, we've used money to buy ourselves into spiritual fathers and mentorship. And we know what we are doing. If I just pump that man with money, his money in me, just pump him with money. Pump him. When they report it to him, he will say you are the one that is lying. You know, it happens, and that thing can deal with marriages. But I beg you, if you are somebody who doesn't have, ensure you start having now. All together. Let's assume I'm your pastor, right? I think at least from the best I know, there's nobody here who cannot call to order. All together. May it remain that way. Not the one that I want to call you to order. I'll be calling myself to order first. I have to call myself to order first. Before I call you to order, I say, no, they should not slap you. They should not, just be careful. Just stay. it happened to me in Nigeria church now. I called one brother for one song he sang or something. I can't remember what even happened. Right? And the way it changed for me in the church, the next day, even when I do to reconcile, you know, there's some reconciliation that you have to do for my father. Brother, are you okay? Me, I'll go around and hug everybody. Because you can't be, you understand? I'm just joking, but I'm not joking. Are we together? Right? Yeah? Let me tell you something. The day, you know, I always tell you, the day I scold you reveals a lot about you. Are we together? Not the day we are smiling. The day I scold you, it reveals. And that's what I always tell you, when you start getting close to your pastor, up your honor game. The most people who don't like corrections are those that are closest to pastor. That's the truth. Because you've drawn the line. You've drawn the line. I corrected a brother in Nigerian church a few months ago. Altogether, what did he do? I found out he wasn't talking to a member of the church. And he was a leader. And I scolded him openly. From then to today, it has been dishonor upon dishonor until they left. I wasn't surprised. I knew from that moment. There's somebody who, from that moment backwards, that should tell you that what he called honor then was not true honor. It's because we were still smiling. How can you have a leader who cannot scold you? You don't have a leader, you have a friend, you have a colleague. Altogether, you do something wrong, I cannot scold you. I know. No, you can't. I think one of those things I definitely learned that from my dad. My dad can call anybody to order, either respectfully or anyhow. Anyhow we meet you, we meet you. But just always know he meant the best for you. So please, I beg you, learn to ensure you always remind yourself. See, when you go back home today, ask yourself, who can my husband report me to? And I will shiver. Not the one you say, I'll tell pastor for you. You say, you and the pastor, I'll beat you. People did it to my dad now. I can call one name. He told the wife, you and Pastor Amos, together two of you in this room, I will beat you and nothing can happen. Altogether. When Pastor Amos said that one, what should he do? He run away from that house. You don't go. Once you want to pray, just call. You want to release. Altogether, there are people like that. But see, ensure you maintain that heart of humility. This is what happens a lot. There are things that you will begin to suffer, begin to struggle because you've left that association. There are things that can happen to you because of association. Let me tell you for free. See, you know why people like to take their children to private schools that are expensive? It's the same association thing. Altogether, you go in the country like UK, for instance, where school can be free, and see people laboring and saving money, right? Because they want to send them to a place where they're paying 15,000 to 20,000 pounds per term, 60,000 pounds per year on a child's head that you're not sure if he will know book or not. That you're not sure what the outcome of the book he will learn will be. And you now come back and say it's a girl that you're born as a boy. You are not really sure where we'll get to. But you see, when parents do that, they have an intention. Association. Who are your friends? It doesn't always work. Altogether. And some of us, me, this is my own bias, this is not Bible. This is my own bias. I believe if I never want to do it, I will consider it from their upper secondary school to university. Because most of your friends in nursery school, either they are president of the either they are future king of Tuhara Kingdom. They will not remember you. Once you start going and change school, nobody will remember you. How is it? Nobody will remember you. Yeah, so me, this is me talking, this is not Bible. You get the point? Yeah? But you know, association is very important. You know, you can be among friends and just know that you have something you have a decision to make next week, and you just throw the conversation to them, and they'll get back to you with, thus says the Lord. And you are sure that the thus says the Lord is not to make you smile. It is what God will have you say. So, the concept of covering is something that has been abused. But let me tell you something. Lot abused his covering. He abused his covering. And he walked out of it. God covers people. Jesus is our cover. He's our umbrella. We know. Give it any name. But Jesus umbrellas us with men. So find where you want to pitch your tent and pitch it well. Right? And don't allow naysayers or gainsayers, whatever name you want to call it, to allow you to sweep away from what God would have it done. Altogether, I'll give another example before we look at that on Wednesday. Joshua was a man who stood under the covering of Moses. Altogether, he stood under the covering of Moses. We saw that on Wednesday, where you see in Numbers chapter 11, verse 20, verse 28. Numbers 11, 28. Numbers 11, verse 28. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men answered and said, my Lord Moses forbid it. We saw that on Wednesday. We saw Joshua chapter 1 as well again on Wednesday. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 to 2. And saw how Joshua referred to Moses. He said, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord. See how he said it though. The death of Moses, the servant of the Lord. And it came to pass that the Lord spake unto the son, Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all the people, unto the land which I will give unto thee, even the children of Israel. Verse 3, every place to the soul of the fish shall tread. That will I give unto you, and I said, as I said unto Moses. Now, look at verse 8. Look at verse 13. Remember the words which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God has given you rest and had given you this land. Right? If you go back all the way to verse... I'm looking for... We said that on Wednesday. Where it says, where Joshua was teaching from the writings of Moses. Pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare victuals, and 3 days shall pass. No, that's not it. That's verse, verse what is that? 11? That's what? 13. But just read that. Remember the word, I just read that actually. Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave, had given you rest and had given you this land. So Joshua was pointing the attention back to the message and teaching of Moses, who was his pastor. Now we said something, right, as a pastor in a local assembly, in a kingdom, we're supposed to look at something today. Remember on Wednesday? Mantle. Double portion. Remember that, right? No. Let me not rush it. Yeah? We're supposed to look at double portion. I'll start it again on Wednesday, right? So what am I showing you here? We see the practice of Joshua referring to Moses as God's servant. You see, there's some churches where they don't call their pastor by even starting with, they first say our highly esteemed pastor. Or they'll say God's servant or God's bishop. Are we together? Right? Is a way of reminding yourself that this person you are about to receive from is no ordinary person. Altogether, you know, I saw some people laughing the other day online. They were saying that that we have only been given the name of Jesus to pray. Beautiful. That what we pray in the name of, the God of blah, 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 blah. Yeah, come and find this in. Yeah, and you see, that's theology gone too far. Altogether, yeah, you see, there's sort of a thing called associating with the God. Now, the God of those men is your God. But it brings a sense of remembrance to you that if God can be with them, He can be with you and do what you ask for. Do you understand the point? Let's not get all troublesome with some things that are not necessary. Souls are perishing. You have five people who are calling their pastors in to pray. Why? How is that your business? Souls are perishing. Your neighbor is about to die and go to hell. Do you understand? And you are fighting online. Let's get busy. Like I always tell you, try to shield your mind from... There's something that I've seen happening all around the social media right now recently. You see, when things are done in churches that are bad and you want to correct it, don't share the video. You are making it popular. Okay, people are dancing in one way in their church. You post the video. Is this church? Can't you just do a post that just talks about how we should behave ourselves in the church? You can even make reference to, I saw a video. Do you understand how sometimes I tell you that I saw that video? Someone sent that video. I saw this video. Imagine every time I say I saw the video, I'm coming to media, project. Media, project, media, produce. See them. No. The more we believers share those bad practices, and mind you, more often than not, very few believers share solid conduct and solid practices. Very few believers share those good conduct. But the ones who don't share it, they are more predominant in trying to show the churches that are doing the wrongest of things. You are just making it blow. And that's the intention of the church. You know, sometimes when some praise singers are preparing for Sunday service, they are thinking, what will blow? What will captivate both the people in church and those who are outside? Altogether. So I now find out that I now begin to realize some of these bad or negative things that are happening in different places from fellow believers. Right? You know, some of you say they are still very stubborn. If somebody writes in their post, I saw a video where they were dancing this thing in the church, you will go to Google and go and check. Video of church where they are video of church where they are dancing this kind of dance. Where they give you cut, you start, go to page 2, go to page 3, you go back to Safi. Video of church in Nigeria. Video of church in Nigeria. These people are not serious. This is some experience. You know, so just try to ensure there's some things that are better left unseen. Are we together? It's better left unseen. So one of the things we said here is that in that tribute to that Joshua story, we saw that as well. Joshua 11 verse 15 also says that, you know, that's why you see, for instance, in your cell meetings, when your leaders are teaching, there is one voice in God's palace. Amen. There's one teaching in God's palace, right? There's one teaching. So every leader, yeah, you should be able to let the people that are listening to you know who you are listening to. Altogether. Anybody who you'll see who doesn't make it clear who they listen to, be wary of them. Anybody, no matter the crowd they pull. Anybody who you cannot point to and say, these are the people this person is accountable to, be wary of them. You know why? In those kind of isolated ways of pastoring and teaching, it's easy to enter error. And they always think they are the Lord of themselves. If you are following someone who you are not proud to let people know, that is my pastor, that is who I'm following, you are not following them. You are a political person. Altogether, you are a politician. You know, some people associate themselves in a camp just because they want people to feel they are relevant. Altogether. Let me just put a video of me Bishop Oyedepo praying for me, and I post it online. So people can know that at least I had that direct connection. Someone that even the first time they are talking to him in your life. Altogether. So you must be able to know. That's why I say in our sermons, our leaders, anytime anyone is teaching, anytime anyone is leading prayer, for instance, they have to give some examples. There's nothing wrong with saying, as pastor usually says, as pastor said. Why should people have a problem with that? It's not the pastor that said it. Should we say, as the driver said? that's another very true way of saying it. You know, as the man we know said. Altogether, yes, should be found in your teaching. Now, that doesn't mean every statement. Just as pastor said. Remember, he said, pastor said, pastor. No. But there are some things that you know you heard it from him. You say it in your teaching. I have some friends who, I almost changed it for somebody last week. I have some friends who have the habit of, when people post pictures or post write-ups, they clear out the names of people who write it. That's so dishonorable. I saw a lady, her name is Lizzie. I did one, me that has even stopped writing. I did one post, I can't remember when I even did it. I was just scrolling through WhatsApp, I just saw my post, my name was cut. And my name was cut, I'm like, Like, she just screenshot my WhatsApp page. I'm like, what kind of dishonor is that? There's a lady, one of my friends as well, again, I wanted to call her to order last week, but I just said, let me just give it, since I'm new to some things. How can, I've seen you over 20 times, you are posting Pastor Shegun's post, and you are cropping his name out. Why? If his person is not something, somebody you like, you don't need his content. Throw his content, his content away. Listen, why do you behave in some very ridiculous ways? You should be able to let people know where you are getting things from. Nobody is self-made. Even those who act like they are self-made. Nobody is self-made. Everybody is made by a man, if you are going to be. Even those that claim they are self-made. I got this from Tone of Rest. Is somebody they saw doing those kind of things? Don't be political about your life. Don't be political about your honor as well. You know, I told you a few weeks ago, if there's a pastor who you give more gifts to than a local church pastor, right? You are not honoring your pastor. Yeah? It's called politics. Did you hear what I just said? Did you hear what I just said? If there's a pastor who you are giving more gifts to, I'm not talking about because you're in God's palace, so anywhere you find yourself in the world, right? The man who labors on you over your life part time is your pastor. And if you're going to give any other person gifts in this world, it should be your priority. Some of you look at some pastors who are pastoring maybe in your head, in your small mind, 30 people, 50 people, 100 people are saying, this is not big enough. I want people that are pastoring 1 million people so I can tap. Are you a plumber? It's done. If you have a contract that gave you £1 million and 10% of that is what? I'm trying to use 10% because that's what everybody agrees with, right? 10% is what? $100,000, £100,000. And you decide to say, I think God's palace is too small for this money. Let me take it to a church that has seen £100,000 first 20 years ago. Let me tell you something. If people did not give them their first £100,000 that 20 years ago, where would they be today? Are we here? The drive is not money. Drive is not gifts. Like I always teach you, so I'm going to teach it again next week, right? Yeah, the pastor should know how to work. That's why all of us, we all go to work every morning. And we finish on Friday evening. Are we together? Sometimes my Friday evening, as soon as I'm finishing work, I'm starting work again because I'm doing ministry meetings with leaders, Nigerian church leaders, leaders in training, UK church leaders. I'm having to prepare. I'm trying to pray. I'm going to fast. I'm trying to do so many things. So my life is going in that circle. So you cannot give an excuse or claim that, this one is just, I work, I labor. I feed my family to the praise of glory. Hallelujah. I do little I can do. My wife said something very, very touching to me a few weeks ago. You know, and she said, thank God you have these things right now when church is at this level. Because it would be easy for people to think that you are using church money. And it starts with, I'm like, wow, I didn't think of this. Why am I saying this? So you know, as you are laboring, I'm laboring. I want more money. If there's project management job in your company, and as for my salary, I'll tell you first. But you first tell me the price that they want to pay per year, I will switch. That's the one I'm not committed to. My office. I'm committed to, you know that song, it says part time. I'm committed to my company part time. But if you have any door, you say, no, pastor is too busy. No, let me be the one to say I'm busy. You say they are giving one project manager £100,000 and you just need someone who will just fit in. I fit in. If you want me to travel, I can travel. Are we together? I can travel every day to London. It doesn't mean anything. I hope you get the point. Why am I saying it this way? So that you remember that pastor is working. I'm working. You are working. Are we together? I give gifts to spiritual leaders, particularly my pastor, yeah, running into millions per year. Are you here? Not contribution from church, my own gift. Oh. Are we together? Are we together? So I'm not telling you what I don't do. Yeah. So you must not have that. Once you begin to say, that church is the one that is, you know, they befit, this money befits them more. So what not befits me? What not befits your local, your cell leader? Like I tell you, somebody will come and minister and pour virtue inside you. You say, point your hands towards the man of God. As virtue as is you, virtue will live. Are we together? Yeah, like I said, honor is of the heart and of acts. Are we together? I feel like something today.